And there's nothing you wouldn't give to give every ounce you've got for God. Now, if they're disciples of John the Baptist, that Jesus calls Elijah, that Herod thinks is Elijah, that people are saying is Elijah come again, tell me what kind of guys those disciples were. They're people who want to be like. So what kind of disciples did Paul have? You see where I'm going with that? Anyway, he meets these disciples of John, asks them to follow him, and they do. Anybody know how many? 12. 12 follow him. He continues to teach. He teaches so passionately that he stirs up a whole crowd. They fill this theater. Some of you have been there. Seats 30,000, maybe more than that. They fill the theater and they scream, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians, great is Artemis of the Ephesians," for 2 hours because they're so worked up at what Paul taught. His disciples are there and Paul wants in. Now, we don't know where Paul was when it happened, because in the verses before, Paul said to his disciples, "Hey guys, I'm going to leave you." Now, I don't know if that strikes you odd. If it doesn't, it's because I haven't taught you enough about discipleship. But rabbis never go anywhere. Did Jesus ever say to the disciples, "I'm going up to Jerusalem, you guys stay here"? Never. The disciples always go with you unless you're finished. So Paul says to these disciples, "I'm going up to Jerusalem. You guys stay here. I'm going." And then this happened. So whether Paul was on his way out of town already, but he comes back and he says, "I want in. I want to talk to those 30,000 people. They're interested in the gospel. I've got something I want to say to them." And his disciples say, "No, we're not going to let you in. Please don't go in there." Why did his disciples say that? Well, we don't know. It doesn't say. I always thought it's because his disciples thought if he goes in there, they'll tear him to shreds. We know what kind of chutzpah and passion this guy's got. He's going to say something. They'll cut him to pieces. Maybe. Is it also possible that his disciples said, "Paul, you turned it over to us. You told us you were leaving. This is our city. We're passionate about God. We've become like you. We can handle this ourselves. You were leaving, remember? Let us do it." I'm of an opinion that that's a strong possibility. Because Paul, when he hears it, says, "Bye." And he goes to Jerusalem. In Hebrew, you say, "up to Jerusalem to be in the presence of God at Passover." Now, let me show you something. And this is new to me. New meaning a year or two. Did you ever hear of a rabbi who picked disciples who used to follow John the Baptist? Who? Jesus. His disciples in the Gospel of John were with John the Baptist. How many did he pick? Did you ever hear of a rabbi who chose 12 disciples? Did you ever hear of a rabbi who taught those disciples in the synagogues and also outside of the synagogue? Did you ever hear of a rabbi who taught them, I'm sorry, I put them in the wrong order. Did you ever hear of a rabbi who taught them for 3 years and then left? Did you ever hear of a rabbi who was accused, I'm sorry, who was supported by the gifts of women? Jesus. Look at Luke. So was Paul. Did you ever hear of a rabbi who was accused of desecrating a temple, which he hadn't done, but he was accused of it? See the passion film? What was Jesus accused of? Did you ever hear of a rabbi who, when he was accused of desecrating the temple, was stated clearly by a Roman official, he's innocent? Did you ever hear of a rabbi who was dragged out by some Jews to be stoned? Did you ever hear of a rabbi who had a young disciple he called my son? Did you ever hear of a rabbi who, when he finished teaching them, left to go up to God after 3 years? Do you see my point? I think what's happening in Paul's life is,